Okay, friends, good evening. Hello, everyone. We're in Tel Aviv. Let's sit down, please. If you're still standing, please, there are a few more places to sit, so please sit. Please make sure your phones are turned off so you won't ring and disturb the friends around you during this evening. Okay, so we're happy to be here in Tel Aviv. Rav Lightman started a journey last week throughout the month, connecting Israel. And today we're on our second stop in Tel Aviv. Thursday we'll be in Hadera. Last week we were in Kfar Nasi. We'll try to go over this whole country in this month before the holidays and to pass on good connection and love among our nation here in Israel. This evening will be divided into two. Rav will start off, explain the big picture, and then you'll be able to ask questions and get answers. We're going to have a lot of fun, so let's start. Yes, so just as Owen said, I'd like to make this introduction a bit short, so you can have enough time for your questions and answers as much as you want, and I'll try to answer. We've decided to go out to a series of conversations, lectures all over the country, in all the different cities, because we feel to what extent the world and the country are going deeper and deeper into a crisis. And according to what the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, this is a very dangerous thing, a very dangerous state, unpleasant. And it truly may bring Israel to a bad situation. Because just as, well, some of you I see here know what we're talking about, and if you don't, well, the thing is that we're developing by our ego growing every year. The entire evolution is by us constantly growing and growing in our desire. And this is how we have grown, basically, from the still to the vegetative, animate, and speaking, the speaking level, and the humans have been evolving for hundreds of thousands of years, and it keeps on going. Lately, our will to receive grows so quickly in an exponential manner. And this brings development on the one hand, technical development, technological. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, this ego breaks down our life to a certain extent, doesn't let us enjoy. Certainly, we're looking for a way to suffer less, but the situation is deteriorating. And we see it by the divorce rate, by violence, we see it by people using antidepressants, drugs, etc., etc. All that wasn't this way a few years ago because we weren't so depressed of life. The question is, what's the point of life? What's the purpose of life? What to live for? This question pecks our mind more and more, even though we want to run away from it, and each and every one tries, but it's hard. And in this general crisis, we've reached a state where we start feeling how opposite we are from the general nature. The whole thing is that the still vegetative and animate, everything except human beings, live according to nature, instinctively. By the commands they feel and they accept and perform. Whereas human beings do not keep nature's laws, feel themselves free from it, liberated. And it turns out that each one is separate. We're all separated. And by that, we are truly the opposite of nature. This contrast, the oppositeness, causes a lot of trouble. Because we all live in this bubble, in this sphere called nature. And if we're not equal with this sphere, with this general force, the integral force of nature, it returns to us in a very unpleasant way. Especially lately, we've reached a state where we really harming the climate, the general ecology. They say that they're talking about things that may be very scary, dangerous, disastrous. And also regarding our entire existence in the world. The wisdom of Kabbalah tells us that all that is because we have to be, by our mind, by our emotion, by our understanding and recognition, we have to be connected between ourselves. And by that, to resemble the general nature. And then, in such a way, we will reach an understanding, an awareness of the inner forces of nature. And we will feel at that the general internal plan and the essence of life. What's truly going on within nature, inner nature, which lies beyond time, space, and motion, above our existence in this small universe. And all this is given to men to feel, to understand, to research, and live, as it is written by the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah. When the wisdom of Kabbalah is a method how to discover eternal, whole, superior, and upper life in this time, meaning in this life. You don't have to die for it or run to different dimensions, rather truly just to know how to go into nature and to discover it. Therefore, we may read this method that is generally called the wisdom of Kabbalah. We divide it into a stage called the wisdom of connection. When an ordinary person wants to reach a state where he can live better in a more secure way, that's one side of it. And the other side is when a person starts asking, what's the point of life? What's the essence of life? The secret of life? Why are we living it? And where does it come from? Where is it? Does it extend to? How does it end? And then he discovers all the process and the entire secret behind it. There is no secret in it. You just have to acquire additional qualities that are not limited in time and motion. This is our world. When it's under the concept of time, we have to rise above time, and it's possible. The wisdom of Kabbalah makes it possible. Except for that, the wisdom of Kabbalah warns us that because we nevertheless do belong to the people of Israel, we have a very serious commitment to reveal this whole method of connection to the whole world. Because this is the general problem of humanity, not being connected. On the contrary, we've reached a state where we're living in a small village. However, we're all, you know how it is, no one really sees the other. No one takes the other into account. And when we live this way, we have a problem. We are so much the opposite of the general force of nature, that it may be dangerous. Because what we're calling forth from nature is disastrous forces, and especially what we're calling forth is hatred for the people of Israel from the nations of the world, because we have received this method in ancient Babylon from Abraham. He was a Babylonian priest, and he discovered this method of connection, and he connected a group from these Babylonians, and he called it Israel. We're actually the offsprings of these Babylonians, just as the entire world is. But up until today, this group calls itself Israel and live this way. And so Abraham, when he discovered the method of connection, wanting by that to correct a crisis that used to be then in Babylon, what he wanted was to draw all the Babylonians to this connection. But it didn't work out with everyone. Only a small amount of people followed him. But actually he discovered, and this is true up until today, that for this connection is what the entire humanity should reach. Meaning the entire Babylon, which has become the entire earth by now. What we do need is to realize this method of connection ourselves and to pass it on to the whole world. This is why all the nations of the world hate us. This is what they subconsciously demand of us. This is the reason for anti-Semitism. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us. And this is why we, especially in our times, we need to discover it ourselves and also to pass it on to all the other nations' usage. Because the general crisis that is now starting to develop, well, it's been a few dozens of years already, it won't end by itself. As much as the leaders and all these wise guys will want to take care of it, it won't do. Only we can give it the right shape and set the right example. This is the meaning of to be a light to the nations. This is the meaning of passing on the method of connection, and for that we have to first realize it on ourselves. Many Kabbalists write about it, and it's also very interesting that many philosophers and anti-Semites write about it. They discover what the secret of the people of Israel is, being such an eternal nation that exists in order to reveal this connection of love thy friend as yourself, which is basically the purpose of human existence. And we have to realize it, utilize it. I feel that you have a quote or something. Yes, Henry Ford said something very interesting. He was one of the greatest anti-Semites, and what he said was that Jews are a race that kept themselves alive by the natural laws, that breaking these laws caused decay in many other nations. This race is here as an omen to the antiquity of our entire wealth and spiritual wealth. There are many such words by sages of many nations that indicate that this is the secret that seemingly exists in the nation of Israel. It's a secret of connection. And the truth is, it's not simple because it's against our nature. Nobody really wants to maintain the connection to such an extent as it is written in the wisdom of Kabbalah, to be as one man and one heart, all of Israel are friends, and to feel, to be connected in a way that I feel the other as I feel myself. These are things that we can at least to some extent realize how far it is from reality. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, it's written in the wisdom of Kabbalah that we live in an age that nature will obligate us. The general force of nature, which is there in order to accumulate all our pieces together, nature will put pressure on us to such an extent that we will have to connect. And this is why specifically here the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed for the first time in thousands of years. And it explains to us what to do. That in the connection between us, as we start even slightly to connect in small circles between us, this is actually the method. It's written in a very accurate way. We reach a state where within the connection between us, we start feeling the upper dimension. When we rise above time, space, and motion. Because in the connection, each one loses his ego to a certain extent. To a certain extent, he starts feeling what lies outside of him. And then, when people start overcoming, start connecting, they lose the dimensions of this world. The three axes and time. And they start feeling the state above our limited perception. And then, just as Einstein talks about, we reach a state that we can feel extracorporeal reality, which is not the forces of reception. In reception, we close everything down and we only feel the limited state, what we can absorb. Rather, we start feeling what's outside of us. And then, if we feel it, not like now we feel things outside of us. The truth is we feel everything in our brain. We don't really feel what's outside of us. But if we acquire together in this special connection, when we connect, we acquire this tendency to come outwardly to a certain extent, then we do feel the upper dimension, what we call the upper world. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah advises us to do. And this is for people who are interested in this. But if you're not interested, well, in this journey, we explain that the connection itself helps us bring the good new state both to the family, for education of children, and also to create new and good relationship in your workplace, etc., etc. You also see what's going on on the roads, on the street, and everywhere. That's why we're reaching a state where the connection is necessary everywhere, because the crisis is general. We also see what's going on in Europe, that they wanted to connect. And so they connected the banks, the commerce, the industry, but they didn't connect the human beings. This is what happens. And of course, the crisis is going to expand there and the whole, all the European common market, which is truly like a market, will fall apart. That's why we have to understand that it's in our hands. In the people of Israel, it lies the force and the method of how to save the world. And if we don't turn to this method, we might bring hatred from the entire world on us, and it will be a serious problem, because in the subconscious, when the nations of the world, all the people of the world feel bad, they subconsciously start feeling it's coming because of Israel. And you see how Henry Ford, and in general, so many things are written on us, and correctly so. They feel it inside. And it might become stronger. And so the solution is simple. The remedy is one. Start connecting. Start coming closer to each other. And we'll see a good result from that. Starting with the way people are driving on the streets and in the families, in the workplaces, and everywhere. And the main thing is our international situation. The way we'll be accepted all over the world. Everything will change as a result of it. Because the positive force that started emerging from the people of Israel is immediately felt in the subconscious. Everyone, all the nations of the world feel it. They depend on it, and this is why they hate us. So this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah advises us to do. Explains that we live in a very special time. This is why we have to use this. And this is why the more we learn this method, this wisdom, we better see that it is not talking about anything except connection. The wisdom of Kabbalah, it seems to us something concealed. It is concealed. The good force is concealed. It's not revealed in our nature. And as much as the wisdom speaks of upper world, that's true. If we have a force of, we're equipped with the force of bestowal along with the force of reception, these two forces, we discover the other side of reality that is now concealed of us. We're like the very heavy planets, like the, they call it black holes, that swallow, devour everything and don't let anything out, even not the light. And so we can't see and we don't feel the reality outside of us, extracorporeal reality. That's why the wisdom that is now revealed to us today opens up the horizons without any limit. This is what I wanted to talk about. Of course, I can talk for hours about it if you know me, but maybe we'll go according to what's interesting to you. Would you like to add something? No, I'd like to invite you to ask questions. The way we're going to do it, because we're broadcasted through Rav's Facebook to people in Israel and all around the world, if you want to ask a question, please raise your hand. I'll tell you who's going to ask the question. Keep your hand up in the air, because the ushers will pass you the microphone and they'll do it quickly. And what I want to ask you is that if you're asking a question, please stand up so we can film you, and well, you can ask your question and get the answer. So if you have a question, please raise your hand. Yeah, go ahead. First question here, Rav, whatever question you want, not necessarily what I just talked about. So whatever you want to talk about, if you can just introduce yourself, your name. Okay, I'm Guy from Tel Mund. It's my first time in this lesson about the wisdom of Kabbalah. And you talked about your connection. What kind of connection did you intend? It's me and by the people around me? Because I don't have the indication of... It's not very important who you're connecting with. With whomever it's easy for you, whoever agrees to it. The main thing is to generate the right way of connection. I'll tell you, the thing is very special. Look, if we sit in a circle and we, for instance, 6, 7, 8, 10 people, and each one starts being concentrated in the center of the circle, which is the sum total of us, the common heart of ours, if we're all desiring to feel this center, then on the one hand, our ego rejects it, opposes it. Each one's ego resists it, pulls each of us backwards, and we are drawn to the connection. If we make the effort here, the exact effort and sufficient effort, I'm talking about a law of nature, it's not about mystics or something. If we establish ourselves this way, we reach a state that we start feeling here on the inside this circle, a special force, which is, you can call it an upper force, a force above our ego, giving. By this, I leave my limited perception that I live as a human being in a certain perception of reality. There is a reality which is limitless, endless, and we perceive reality in a very limited way. So, by each of us coming out a little bit from himself towards this center of connection between us, we start feeling in it a new reality. It's called the upper world or spiritual life. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah is talking about, actually. This is the entire method. Realizing it is not simple. As we start feeling this reality, we start feeling forces, partzufim, olamot, sfirot. In short, everything that is talked about in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Meaning, this is physics of the force of bestowal, as all our sciences are sciences of the force of reception. And this is actually what we are realizing. Who to realize it with? Whoever is interested. Whoever wants. Whoever wants to come and to start exercising this way. I would say the most beneficial way is if along with us sitting, we're also learning about this reality, the upper reality, the upper world together. Meaning sitting together and studying about it. To the extent that we are learning and we want to come out of ourselves, to that extent we start feeling the upper reality. And so we start acquiring, bit by bit, we acquire the upper world for ourselves. Today's crisis is specifically in order to push men to recognize this. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed, specifically in our times. Yes, please. Next question. My name is Amir, I'm from Ramat Gan. In order to reach this destination you're talking about, how much is a formal study like methods and ways, and how much percent of it is emotional work? How much is mental, how much is emotional? Rav, it goes together, the intellect and the emotion. Because in our world, we can exist without activating neither our mind nor our emotion. We live, we exist, we're born, we develop. Nature activates us. Here it all depends how much you activate yourself in a desirable manner, in your mind and emotion. First comes emotion. Then the mind. Why? Just as in our world, if you don't feel something, your mind can't perceive it. Your mind only helps you understand what you feel. And even though this is a wisdom, but it's a wisdom of reception, Chochmat HaKabbalah. What you receive, you discover. That's why you develop both mentally and emotionally. Yes? You can ask more questions. I don't know how much to go into it. Everything can be very broad. Yes, over there is someone. Don't be shy. Ask whatever you want. You can ask provocative questions as well. Hello, I'm Pasha from Rosh Ha'in. I'd like to ask this question. Sometimes, in many cases, people in my work or in many different places, you can't bring them to a Kabbalah lesson to understand that they have to connect. But still, you have to connect to them and to work along with them, live along with them. So what should I do when they don't know it? Rav, I said already that in our dissemination, we have two levels. People want to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, and people want to learn the wisdom of connection. There's a vast difference between the two. People who come to the wisdom of Kabbalah start asking about the secret of life. What's the purpose of life? That's where the wisdom of Kabbalah starts. Meaning the first question it explains, actually, is what is it intended for? It's intended for people who ask, why am I alive? What am I living for? And whoever wants to know that, and he feels pain, and he can't calm down without knowing for what reason he's alive, he comes to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah. But some people, as you say, in my workplace, I want to have good relationships with the people I work with. So how will I know how to connect properly with them? Well, for that, you have to come to us not to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, rather to study the wisdom of connection, the method of connection. Then you'll learn it in the circles we're organizing. And as a result, you'll know what to do. And even in your workplace, you'll be able to do it. Not even organizing a circle. You'll be able to simply know how to connect to them, how to relate to them in a way that you will draw such a good relation from them. You're welcomed. Please, more. Last, down there in the end, yes. Rav, good evening. The first question. I have a feeling that if you're searching for the connection, then some people are suspecting that you're gonna, or some people suspect that it will be exploited. Exploited? You want to be an integral part of society, but maybe the society will exploit you and use it as your weakness, actually. Rav, look, first of all, I've never seen a society that demands and wants to connect correctly according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because I wish there were such things in the world, but there isn't any. The way we will organize it will be. Where did you ever see? Question. If you're a minority, you're a small group trying to connect, but the majority is not into it. They don't understand where you are. Rav, I'm in a state that I'm like a scientist. My first profession was cybernetics. Later on, I had a few more professions. I had a PhD in philosophy and Kabbalah. So I'm telling you that nature, a scientific research on nature will tells us a simple thing. And today we discover it each and every step, that we are in a round nature, a nature that demands all its parts to be connected like a small village in an integral way, so that we are all parts of one body, still vegetative, animate, human beings. The more we research the bodies, life, the order between them, the connection between them, we see that it's all one system. And only a person who has free choice, he's free from nature, he's above nature in his desire. He breaks this law of connection. This is why now we are coming to have a serious crisis. We are truly opposing nature, against it. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that we have no choice. We have to be connected between us. Now, we didn't really have to do it a few dozens of years ago. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah was never revealed. It exists for thousands of years already. Abraham wrote the book of Yetzirah, book of making, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and many other Kabbalists after him as well. And only now are we coming to realize we have to implement it, because the world has come to it. It's not because it's good for us or we can talk about it for some reason. Rather, our good future, our destiny depends on it. Our oppositeness from nature is starting to cause great torments. One more question. If we are going to reach it anyhow because it's nature, then automatically, if this is nature, we're going to reach it. Rav, no. Wait a minute. Your assumption is wrong. We can't reach there in the right way. We won't be able to connect because our ego won't let us do it. What's going to happen? You're right when you say that we have to reach the final state where we're all connected. That we're all connected together. This is a sign for a connection. A sum. Okay, so we can come to it in the path of torments, sufferings, by wars, by blows, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're heading towards World War III, World War IV if we don't start connecting. Or we may reach it in a good, nice way. Not the path of suffering, rather path of light, we call it. Two ways. And nevertheless, you have to reach it. The difference is this. This time is actually, it takes 6,000 years. Today we're on 5,778 soon. 77. Yeah, it's a matter of 3 weeks. In 3 weeks, it's going to be 77. What do you mean your battery's low? Okay, we have a problem with the computer. Alex, if you can pass on the cable. Okay, so for this reason, we have 6,000 years. Meaning we have about 200 and something years left for the path of suffering. Or we may do it in a shortcut and advance properly and nicely. But the connection is essential. It's a must. The forces of nature develop our ego on the one hand. On the other hand, they force us to identify with the general nature. Meaning we have to reach balance with the general nature. And let's hope that we'll be smart enough to realize it in a nice and good way. This is written in the Kabbalah books and extensively for thousands of years. It's many Kabbalists wrote about it. Yes, please. Okay, a microphone behind you. You have a microphone, please. Hello, my name is Yaakov. I saw a few programs on Channel 66 and I wanted to understand Well, I understood that Kabbalah is not religion. Rav, no. The wisdom of Kabbalah exists for 5,777 years. And religion exists about 2,000 years, starting with the destruction of the temple. The wisdom of Kabbalah is called a wisdom that people attain when they are above their ego. Okay, so my question is, isn't this a different technique to get faith? The question is it in order to take upon yourself faith? Rav, no, there is no faith here. So, question, so should I believe in this path or what? Rav, no, not at all. Question, so how do I know that I'm coming to it not from faith, rather from technique? Rav, because it doesn't necessitate you to believe in a single thing. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a wisdom that Adam discovered 5,777 years ago. He discovered it and wrote a book called Raziel HaMalach, the Angel of Raziel. Question. No, I'll tell you what I don't understand, Rav. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a wisdom. It's science. It doesn't require anything above or above your forces. So I'm asking scientifically, because whatever is regarding a person himself, everything is so precise. But my question is about the spirituality. How can I know that in spirituality it's also so precise? Rav, you attain it in your forces, you measure it, you weigh it, and you compare it. It's in your vessels. It's like physics. It's the same. It's forces, it's formulas and all. There is no room for faith in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Faith in the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the fourth force of faith, force of bestowal, sorry. And it's not that you close your eyes and you accept something like from above. There is no such a thing. Thank you. Okay, this person wanted, yes please. My name is Ronnie. I wanted to ask, when you say connection, is this connection for everyone or what? Rav, for everyone. Everyone, all human beings must be connected together in one body. Body meaning in one system. Question, so it's not only for Jews or Rav? No. Jews is a group that connected to Abraham in ancient Babylon, and they heard his voice. They followed him. In ancient Babylon, about 3,500 years ago, there was a crisis. Just as we've heard in the Tower of Babylon. What does that mean? In the Torah, it is also written that it suddenly was revealed that they lived in a nice way, all the civilization was nice, and then the ego started growing and started separating people. They started fighting with each other. And Abraham was one of Nimrod's priests. He was the king then in Babylon. Then Abraham started asking himself, what's going on with the people he's taking care of? He was their main ideologist, in charge of their ideology. And he discovered that this force that is the central force is nature. What it does is increases the ego inside people. That's why they become, every moment and every year, they become worse and worse, hating each other, starting to fall apart one from the other. And he didn't know what this phenomenon is until he discovered this is purposefully done in order to obligate people to connect above the ego according to the rule. Love covers all the crimes, meaning below you have the ego, all the crimes, separating human beings and above, comes the force that human beings can draw by the connection, the purposeful connection between them. And then on this, in the sandwich, when love covers all crimes, they'll live, when they rise to a higher degree than their present one, they'll start feeling a higher reality. Not that it exists only in one egoistic force, rather two forces. Also in the altruistic force, giving, loving. This is... And when he explained it, when he started to explain, Rambam writes that he called all the people in Babylon, started collecting people, and there was a problem between him and Nimrod. He was against it. And eventually, thousands of people have joined him, he took them over here to the land of Canaan, which is now Israel. And he developed this practical method. But the method itself was there even 20 generations before him. It was discovered by Adam. That's why he's called Adam Rishon, the first man, Adam. He discovered the whole process, the nature drops on us. Question. This really reminds me of the Buddhism, which tells you you should relinquish the ego. Rav, many people talk about relinquishing the ego, but no one has the method of doing it. This is what Abraham discovered, and this is what is in the foundation of our nation, and this is... And we used to live in this method from the destruction of Babylon, from Babylon to the destruction of the temple. You all know why the temple was destroyed. It's because Israel fell from brotherly love to unfounded hatred. That's exactly what happened. Until the destruction of the temple, we used to live in the recognition of the upper world. Thank you very much. Here, Tzvika. After showing me the indication of what connection is, now I have a question. You showed me this circle where each one should give up his ego. What I see is that it creates a certain harmony and a positive atmosphere or something like that. Rav, yeah, much more than that. Of course, it's harmonious, but it's the first time when you start feeling what's outside of you. Yes, but I have another question. Is this possible for people who didn't learn Kabbalah, a person who has good values, was educated properly? Maybe I will give up my ego. Rav, you can't give up your ego. It's a force of nature. How will you give it up? You can't. The only thing you can do is to draw the positive force that lies in nature. Okay, so we are in this small world. This is our world, this world. And one force is working on us, which is a force of our ego, this minus. And we exist in this minus force, and each one to himself. And this, the positive force, the plus, it does not exist. We can connect it. If we connect the positive force along with the minus, then we will truly be as a whole system, which is nourished from two forces, like the plus and minus in our world, that work every atom, every molecule, every particle. Everything that exists except the inner nature, our psychology, is all nourished from two forces, plus and minus, except for us. We and our nature are only in minus. We have to draw the plus. That's actually our only free choice. And if we start being equipped in two forces, then you're the boss. You're simply in a completely new realm, a new dimension. The question I have is, can you only reach it through this, through Kabbalah, or some other method? Rav, don't call this Kabbalah. You can call it something else. Doesn't matter. But I'll tell you, it's not a special trick. Rather, if nature is round, completely round, then you have to, within nature, if the nature is entirely round, then you have to create something that resembles it. It's like the force of induction. We use it in physics. If you want to draw something, you have to resemble it. That's what we're doing. We're generating such conditions in the circle, in the connection between us, that that general force that exists, this plus that is here in nature, right? Here. It affects us, and we're starting to be equipped with it, except for that negative force. And then we start feeling reality outside our ego, and this is called extracorporeal. And until today, we're only living in the negative force. Whatever you say, whatever you want, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're thinking of, it's all only how will I have a good result of it. You can't think of anything else. Even if you're donating charity, Rav, of course, they say this will save you from death, this charity. All the religions, all the beliefs, whatever you say, it's only for you to feel good. This world, the next world, do you understand? Only this method is a method which is not faith nor anything else. Only according to the law of nature. Truly, that's where we feel it in our scientific level, mundane level. This is how you work. And you discover the positive force. Please. Over here, please. First row. Hello, good evening. I wanted to ask, now, for instance, the example you just gave about charity, that even this stems from the ego. Rav, everything, whatever you say, look the way you're sitting. You're sitting only in a way that you feel comfortable. Now you're more comfortable. Well, no, but you take that into account. I don't want to be shy. I don't want people to talk about me this way. Your body works automatically this way. It gets your optimal form for me to feel the most comfortable and to have it the best way. That's how subconsciously we're only working this way. Okay, so what you're saying is we have to have a circle and each one should try to come out of a circle. Where do I get the forces? Even this I do in order to gain something. Everything I do in order to... Rav, correct. So, this I do... Is this okay? Rav, what are you talking about? Okay. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains to you that your world is something you will see in your life. You can feel the next world, what we're talking about, here, in this world. I always come back to what I asked my teacher. What does it mean to feel this way? And he said, you will feel as if you take your shirt off to the laundry in order to wear something new tomorrow. That's how you're going to feel. You're getting rid of your body after you've acquired the extracorporeal world. You get rid of your body and you don't feel you're losing anything. You're not losing anything. To such an extent, what you're acquiring is more important, more strong than this zoological feeling you have. This is the animate level, our body. But what you acquire is the speaking level, the Adam. Yes. Okay, and it's felt that if we have this circle, you can give so much, but maybe I can only give one small percent. Rav, just start feeling it. You'll see how much you're receiving in addition to your life, to your abilities. You're starting to use the plus and minus, these two forces. You start governing life. You start being like the upper force. What is the upper force? Above the egoistic force, it's called the upper. I wanted to add one more word. I'm going to give you the next question. But first, a quote by Baal HaSulam. When a person starts giving others, he goes through a very narrow place with obstacles to a very wide world. Next question. Good evening, my name is Roman. I wanted to ask about something else. Maybe it relates to what we've been talking about. The thoughts and emotions we have through life is our ego, actually. Rav, yes. And along with the body, the ego dies as well, and the soul rises, right? Rav, no. First of all, there is no such a thing as a soul, a neshama, if you don't acquire that bestowal, that positive force we've been talking about. If you don't acquire that, you don't have a neshama. This is your soul. That's why it's called a divine part from above. Meaning the force of bestowal a person has is called a soul. If a person has not acquired that, he doesn't have a soul. All he has is called reshimo, a small impression of that positive force, that if you have realized it in this circle we're talking about, yeah? If you've realized it, you have a soul. Meaning, let's say that same circle, you've acquired this or larger, all there is five such qualities, we call them five worlds. Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, Atzilut, and Adam Kadmon. If you haven't acquired that, you don't have a soul. All you have is a force of the ego, which is a very small force. I'm drawing it in red here as well. This is your ego. And all you have is that. You used to exist in your body in order to connect in the body to other bodies. You're not nullifying it. You're not only rising above it, taking the positive force along with the negative force. If you haven't realized it, then your opportunity is gone. Your body dies because this is the animate level in which we're living. If you haven't acquired the speaking level from it, then the speaking level is the degree of the Adam, resembling the general force of nature. Well, if you haven't done that, all that's left from your life is the suffering you felt from the ego. And then all this suffering and all this incarnation, when you live again and again and again with that same Rishimo, with new bodies, it accumulates until you say, that's it. I want to know why I'm suffering. That's the question of what's the point of life. We're asking from the perspective of our ego, why are we living this way? Life is so precious that, and who enjoys them? And so forth. That's where the wisdom of Kabbalah starts, from this question. Okay, thank you. What? Baal HaSulam says in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, if we put our hearts to answer only one very famous question, meaning the petty question that is asked by anyone, which is, what is the point in our life? Meaning, all this life, which is so costly for us, meaning all the sufferings and pains each one suffers in order to live his life, who enjoys it? Or, to be more precise, whom am I giving joy? And many researchers tried to answer this question, but in this generation, no one even asked this question. But still, the question stands still with all its firmness, validity, bitterness. It meets us, pecks our mind, and lowers us, and brings us down to the dust until we can find the well-known trick that many people do, which is to just live their lives like they used to. Next question. Hello, there are many young people here in the audience, and I've been asked, well, there's a view that you start studying Kabbalah for at the age of 40. Can you explain that, please? Rav, Kabbalah actually is something no one should learn before the age of 40 or after the age of 40. This is exactly what the Bala Sulam answers in the introduction from which Owen just read. That because on the one hand, the wisdom of Kabbalah has been revealed even before 5,777 years ago, and all the Kabbalists wrote books about it, and we have to understand that all the sages of Israel, they were Kabbalists. Where did they find it? They wrote it from the recognition of the whole reality. It's not as half what we see in our five bodily senses. Rather, because they knew it all, they came out of their bodies, their corporeal bodies, they started feeling the upper reality. That's what they wrote books about. What else do we have to write about? And as much as they wrote, they concealed all these things because we had to wait until nature will complete the egoistic development. And it happened, it started closing down 1490, right? 1490, yeah. More precise, it's from the days of the Ari, from the holy Ari. From his days, the wisdom of Kabbalah started being revealed. Baal Shem Tov started to disclose it. And he had many people who opposed him. They were at war against him, not to reveal the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it kept on going until the beginning of the 20th century, when Baal HaSulam started revealing it practically to everyone. But our entire wisdom is built over this wisdom of Kabbalah. We have nothing else to do. That's why, in order to conceal the wisdom of Kabbalah, not to let everyone engage in it, rather, we have to wait until our ego grows and starting to round up so that it will truly be grand and, well, all in all, like a fruit ripened. Then we had to wait. And Baal HaSulam said that it will only start in 1995. Even though all the Kabbalists wanted to reveal it even long, long before that. But they waited for it. Therefore, what they did was, they had all these limitations over it. You're not allowed to do it if you're not allowed to learn it if you're not married. If you don't have special attributes. If you're of an age less than 40. What else? That he hasn't learned all the shas, the shisha sidre mishnah, all the books of holiness. And that's in order to make people distance themselves from the wisdom of Kabbalah. And that's because we haven't reached it could have corrupted our egoistic development. But now, according to all the views of the Kabbalists, we have reached a state that the last great Kabbalists, which are Baal HaSulam, Rabash, Rav Kook, the Kabbalists of the 20th century, they discovered that that's it. They determined that that's it. It's about time and it's open for everyone. For example, Baal HaSulam says, I'm happy that I've been born in such a generation that it's already allowed to publish the wisdom of truth. And if you ask me, how do I know it's allowed? And I will answer, I was permitted to reveal it. And this doesn't depend on the sage, on the way, on how much he's smart. Rather, the situation of the generation, as Rav Cook says, it's about time that everyone knows that the salvation of Israel and the whole world depends only on the revelation of the concealed light in a clear language. Rav, basically the world won't have any other way, only to discover this positive force where it can balance nature and rise to the next degree of connection. Basically, we were ending our life here, if you can say so. And we're living in the speaking level, not in the animate level, not in the speaking level. The animate level is in the positive force of nature. Okay, we have one question from Facebook. Why do so many people die from cancer? It seems that this disease doesn't skip even one family. Rav, okay, now what question did you... Oren, you said we can ask any question we want, so they asked. Rav, my daughter is actually researching cancer, so I hear it sometimes from her. Yes. What can I say? Cancer is also, by the way, it is true. Cancer is a malfunction in the software of the cell. When instead of living the right way, this cell suddenly becomes, instead of being in balance between the plus and minus, because in the degree of still vegetative and animate, the plus and minus are balanced, just like with atoms and molecules, we see it. But in the degree of our psychology, it doesn't. So what happens in our cells is that suddenly the positive force is starting to sink in, and the negative force starts overcoming, and then these cells start eating up their entire environment until they eat up the body and it dies. Meaning the ego in the animate level is an expression of cancer. Yeah? Sadly, this is how it is. That's why today is so popular. It happens so much. Yeah, over there, next question. Yes, this madam wants to ask. Yes, would you like to ask a question? Yes, I came here especially in order to ask. Yes, I came with actually a heavy heart. Where is this woman? Yeah, if you can move a little bit so Rav can see you. Yes, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Question. Well, I've been disseminating for a long time already, for years. Today I'm here with a very heavy heart because I'd like you to help me. I'm always asking, everyone is asking, what's the point in their life? I'd like you to help me understand what's the point in my life, because it's becoming very difficult, not simple. Rav, I'm going to tell you only one thing. I'm dealing with it. I'm engaging in it. I've been engaging it for 40 years already. Studying and teaching. I have nothing to offer except what the books write. And the longer it takes, I guess this is what you're trying to say. It takes a long time. But this is the purpose of our life, actually. To attain throughout this life this positive force, to balance the negative force by it, to live in these two forces, that by that we rise to a degree above time, above motion, above life and death, to the balanced nature. I don't know who's doing it right or not. I teach the method. There are some who succeed more, some succeed less, some don't succeed at all. It all depends on man. But the method is clear. The method is apparent, revealed. We have many friends, and in 2 days from now, we're going to have a congress in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. It's a congress where people from all over Europe will come. Before that, we were in the U.S. I don't even remember. We're having congresses all over the globe. And whoever wants, and whoever realizes it, succeeds. He succeeds. And besides that, if not entirely, then at least he starts knowing the forces of nature, the force in him. He knows how to properly connect to people. He knows human nature. He starts understanding what's with all the everything that happens around, everything that happens in the world. Why do such things happen? Where does it come from? Why do all these forces call forth such events that suddenly this is here and this is here? Everything becomes clear because our life, our world is a result of the balance of the forces, or the imbalance of the forces, actually. That's why I think that there's no way of reaching despair or not. It all depends on man. There's nothing here depending on luck or something. It's just a balance of forces. Let's keep on going and we'll succeed. Especially when today we're in a very, very special state where the people of Israel truly discover their wisdom and they can use it in order to reach a state where he passes it on to the whole world. And then we merit a completely different attitude from the rest of humanity. Yes, please. Next question over there. Do you see where I'm pointing at? Yeah, okay, you asked already. Okay, look, Giri, are you passing the microphone? Where's the microphone? Okay, yes, please. Hello, good evening. My name is Mickey. I see that you mention, in your words, you mention nature all the time. And on the other hand, the word ego. And there's some dissonance here. Maybe it's a contradiction. You can help me settle here. Because when I think of it, I know that I'd like to ask about the animate level. What's the point in animals in this life? If I have to think about a creature living in the speaking level or being in the speaking level, I'm talking about my dog. He has no ego. And he's natural. He's alive. He's serving me. Doesn't matter how much I'm angry at him, or he's egoless at all, and he always wanted to have the connection. So I don't know, maybe beastliness is something positive. I envy you that you have such a dog. Truly, I love animals. I'd like to tell you only one thing. Is your dog egoless? Yes. Ego means to exploit others, which only exists in men, human beings. Animals don't exploit others. Babies also don't. Little children, they don't exploit. He comes to you, he takes something from you. It's not because he wants to harm you or want to take from you. He has no account with you. He simply doesn't have any account with you. And that's why it's not called ego. The ego starts when we see that children start to grow up and we start seeing these calculations already. They're starting to think inside how to succeed, how to Maybe you can turn that off, that music. That's why you're right. The dog has no ego. He's dedicated to you, is loyal to you. That's true. That's why he's a lot more corrected comparing to men. Men are the worst. It's the worst animal. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, he has the abilities to rise higher than everyone. Yes, a dog is like an angel, meaning it has no inclination. It's activated by nature. I said that already. Animals are activated by nature. And at this, they really seem to us much more corrected, nice. That's why we love them. We love them. They don't have this cunningness that people have. That's why we love children, little children, more than older children. Please. Yeah, just this Mr. asked already. Let's pass on the mic over here. If you'll have time, you can ask again. Hello, Rav. We are in a city which is not an ordinary city. Rav, Tel Aviv, that's where, you can say that again. Tel Aviv, first, there's 500,000 people here, many industries, media here, the entertainment is all here. And there's some concept in this city that if the ego is the problem in humanity, and this is correcting the ego is correcting the world, that the last place that will be corrected in Israel is Tel Aviv, because the ego is so strong here. Now, I actually think otherwise, that because this platform of connections that exists here, and many people who actually weren't born here and came over out of a deficiency of being fulfilling their life by connections, I guess. What I actually think is that this is the place where connection may happen. I wanted to ask, what's your opinion regarding this city as a metropolitan, this metropolitan in general? And here in Israel, we know that everything in the world has a spiritual root. So is there such a thing, a spiritual root of this ideal called Tel Aviv? Rav, I think this is truly a special city. Very egoistic, that's clear. But at the same time, open for all things. It used to be less open. People were more, how should I say it, locked on their own ego. And all the time, they were acting, posing for the others. And it seems to me that this time is over already. They're willing to hear question. Well, not entirely, Rav. Okay, they're less proud than they used to be, in a way that they were so bloated, full of themselves. That's why I actually have a great hope in Tel Aviv for the right development for the truth. Because wherever there's a great ego, there's a greater chance for development. Question. And do you presume that in the level of the system, if there's a system, everything has a role? This city is also, Rav, specifically this city. Question, it has a substantial role? Rav, very substantial. More important than all the other cities in Israel, much more. Well, I hope we'll have many other people like you. Then we'll succeed. I wanted to add regarding Tel Aviv a few things regarding Tel Aviv. First of all, Thursday, October 6th at 7 a.m. We're gonna have a special evening regarding the holidays. So write it down in your diaries and invite your strong ego Tel Aviv friends, October 6th, Thursday, 7 p.m. That's one thing. One more thing. Every Tuesday, soon we're going to conclude. Rav will sum some things up, and then we'll go. So what's going to happen next? Every Tuesday, there's a holiday here. Very special day. Every Tuesday, two of the veteran students of Rav, Amit Shalev and Shai Zamir, are coming over and teaching a lesson. So you can invite everyone. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m., it's the best thing happening in Tel Aviv. Here, 7. Amit, I want you to come and talk a few words about this thing that just started lately. Microphone, please. Thank you, Simeon. This is Amit. He's waiting for you every Tuesday. Well, let's start on Thursday, October. No, in general, it's every Tuesday, and we're going to meet. And the truth is, we started the meetings already, and we're going to study together. There's going to be a special dimension of studying together. You can ask any question you have, also provocative questions that Rav said. And it's going to be fun, like a family. We're going to have a warm meeting, and we're going to have a special meeting on October 6th, when we're going to talk about the inner meeting, the truth behind the symbols and the customs and the holidays. We're going to talk about the good days or the terrible days. So that's how we call them in different light. And we'll try to learn this wisdom, how to find the most of it for our own life, to grow, to develop, because it's Rosh Hashanah, it's the head of the year. And so come, it will be fun. Thank you, Amit. One more word about the holidays. We're going to have, I have a book in my hand. Nice, like a box of chocolate. It's called Good Days, Yamin Tovim. So let's have some good days. It's Israel's holiday in the light of Kabbalah. Why am I showing you this? Because while people are buying wine, chocolate, and soaps in the supermarket for the holidays, you can give yourself and people you love a substantial gift. Good Days, a book that explains just a little bit, but it's very, very interesting about all the holidays of the year, especially the holidays of the month of Tishrei. For today, special sale, 40 shekels only. Rav, we're about to conclude soon, so let's wrap it. Rav, yes, yes. First of all, I'm very surprised from this audience. A lot younger than what I expected. That's the truth. That's very good. And high quality. Tel Aviv is changing, by the way. People are becoming younger in Tel Aviv. They're going out with their dogs. Okay, so I'll be very happy to come again to meet you and talk and answer questions. And in general, I invite you to all our talks and lectures we have here and in our center in Petah Tikva. And in general, you know, we also have congresses. We have the big congress in Israel in February, about February 20th. So in short, have a good year. And may you discover the wide world, so we won't be like inside, like a radish when we live in a bitter thing. There's a true eternal world waiting for you. Good luck. Thank you. Thank you.